The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Peter Whale, Executive Director of Strategic Minerals, SML. The ticker there. Peter, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Justin. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. It's been a while. Looking back, it's the 31st of March when we last spoke. And of course, you're always busy in the background. So it'd be nice to catch up and explain what's going on across your operations. Before we do that, let's just summarize what your operations are, if you could, Peter.
Certainly. So Strategic Minerals, ticker SML, is a profitable, diversified mineral company. We have both producing and near-production assets. We supply magnetite out of New Mexico. We're expecting to restart a South Australian copper mine and also in the future mine tin and tungsten in the UK.
Excellent stuff. Well, let's start with the UK. And talk about some of the government moves and news from the government recently in concerns to UK mining, if you could.
Certainly. So there's been some, I would say, very significant news in the last month or so. Firstly, the government published the UK critical minerals list, and they followed that up with the critical minerals strategy as well. Now, significantly, the critical minerals list includes both tungsten and tin as minerals that are critical to development and in short supply, which obviously we're very much interested in. It was cited that the minerals are integral to the key government strategies. Strong desire exists to secure the supply of these minerals for UK industry use. I'd argue it's never been more timely for the government to be committing to a critical mineral strategy. We believe Redmoor is definitely one of the projects which may yet benefit from government assistance and incentives in order to underwrite this domestic production supply of tin and tungsten. They're also vital for the green industrial revolution, which aims to reduce CO2 emissions. Tungsten, in particular, the supply is critical for industrial processes and for defence. At the moment, the supply of tungsten is 85% controlled by China, which is far from ideal at present. Covering the critical minerals strategy, Dennis Rowland, who heads up our operation down in Cornwall, is actually going to be speaking as part of a panel with the Critical Minerals Association on Tuesday next week. So I advise anyone to check out there to get some more details on the critical minerals strategy.
Yeah. And explain specifically how you think, Cornwall and the project there fits into that strategy then, if you could.
Yeah. Cornwall Resources is actually the only exploration company in Cornwall with an established significant defined mineral resource in both tin and tungsten. So that puts us in a strategically important and prominent position, both commercially and militarily, to deliver on the government strategies. We have one of the largest known undeveloped underground tungsten mining projects in the world, and therefore Cornwall was appropriately spotlighted in the critical mineral strategy, given the number of many active projects it has.
Our mine also would have a significant levelling up impact for East Cornwall, impacting Kellybrae, the town of Callington and neighbouring communities. It would bring further investment and opportunities, helping to develop an industrial hub in East Cornwall. This again fits well with both the critical minerals strategy and the government plans to level up. We also have invaluable support from local politicians. We continue to engage locally with the other various stakeholders. Just as a reminder, we have a low-cost, high-grade project. It's a key strategic resource. 11.7 million tonnes of high-grade material. That equates to 137 tonnes of contained metal. That's approximately $3 billion in situ value sitting in the ground. And don't forget, it's open at depth and to the west, so this is just the starting block. We've got an exploration license out to 2037 and a 25-year mining lease option. The development of both our mine and the wider potential for developing other mines in Cornwall is very much supported by both the resource we have, the government's critical mineral strategy. Perhaps there are further collaborations in the future. And remember, overall, there's so much left to discover in Cornwall with the benefit of modern methods, such as those we've been using during the Deep Digital Cornwall project.
Yeah. In terms, you know, of Cornwall resources, explain to us what's going on at the present there.
Yeah, at the moment, we've literally just hired a new field assistant, and she started this week. We've had a master's student working with us recently as well. For the Deep Digital Cornwall project, we're about to host some local presentations in the community, which will update what's been going on. In summary, over the first year, we've done substantial ground gravity surveys and phase one of a soil sampling campaign. We've completed analysis of these results and we'll be updating very shortly. In the year ahead, we're going to continue more soil sampling, potentially some drone and aerial surveys across the licence area as well. I guess what's key to sort of note here is we're maximising the grant funding to develop high-quality data sets that will both benefit ourselves and be available via the Campbell School of Mines for the research study and benefits Cornwall in general, so everyone wins.
Yeah. Is there another mining conference going on in Cornwall soon?
Yep, later this month in Falmouth, we've got the Cornish Mining Conference. Dennis, Jeff Harrison and myself will all be in attendance, so we look forward to catching up with everyone there. We also continue to engage with a number of interested parties who've been visiting our operation. I think the sentiment and interest in Cornwall has probably never been higher than it is at the moment, so that's very encouraging.
Yeah. And popped up on my Vox Markets app, a holdings in company for Strategic Minerals, bit of a significant holder. Explain that if you could.
Yeah, we welcomed Philip Richards of Rab Capital as a slightly above 4% shareholder. Mm-hmm. He's the president of Rab, which is an established investment company focused on natural resources and other areas. They do have a few other disclosable stakes in companies. They are typically serious, long-term, supportive investors. We've been in contact with them for a while, and we're aware that they've been building a position, which has obviously risen quite a bit significantly, hence the disclosure. This actually is the largest holding ever in the company from a professional investor. Philip currently has exactly the same stake as John Peters, who's been adding himself recently, and it's slightly above my holding. So we're all kind of pretty much level around the 4% level. Mm-hmm. Charles Manners remains the largest holder for the time being. I guess it's easy to say this should be a clear sign to the market that there's great value on offer around the current share price. Things can move quickly, especially when sentiment flips. Don't forget, we still have some warrants outstanding at 1p, which are some way north of the current market level. But I still think the value is there. There's no question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if you could tell us what's happening, how do things stand at Lee Creek at the moment?
Well, I'm pleased to say we did finally have our unconditional PEPA granted by the South Australian government. They were in such a hurry in the end, they updated it on their website before we had a chance to release it, which wasn't exactly ideal. However, John met with them recently in South Australia. There's obviously a very close ongoing relationship as we're moving forward developing the project. We'll need to be submitting further applications, and we just want to ensure everything runs as smoothly as possible. On funding Lee Creek, all I can say is various discussions continue and remain ongoing. Some are much more advanced than others. It is clearly helpful to have the PEPA granted. And I hope that we'll be in a position to conclude soon on what is currently a key catalyst for SML.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Okay, if you could, you know the score here, Peter. Three reasons then why someone should hit that follow button on your page and add strategic minerals to their watch list, please.
Okay, I'm going to simply split it into the three projects. It's really not going to take much to move things without news flow, which obviously we clearly expect. So Cobre, we've got a long-term access agreement that materially underwrites the company because we've got secure cash flows. As you know, we recently increased the prices by 20% for magnetite. This hasn't really impacted demand. So we'll see the benefits of that in the quarterly update, which will be out next month. Cornwall Resources, some comments on the tungsten price. It remains near its highs and it could yet move materially, especially given the China overlay, increased focus on defence. We understand US oil and gas demand remains very high. There's no secret tungsten is the main driver to our project valuation. So this really underwrites this asset. And that can only continue with the focus on critical mineral supply. Lee Creek, it remains an unappreciated asset. I really think that is about to change. Don't forget, whilst the near-term production is compelling by itself, the potential exploration upside could be huge.
Excellent stuff. Thanks, Peter, and look forward to catching up in the not-too-distant future.
Thanks, Justin. Great to talk to you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.